Welcome back, dear friends. In this study of separation of church and state law, I'm now teaching on the topic, Israel, the only theocracy ordained by God. Israel was the only nation ever called by God for specific purposes, and those purposes were as follows. Israel was called to be a witness to the unity of God in the midst of universal idolatry, Deuteronomy 6, 4, Isaiah 43, 10 through 12. Israel was called to illustrate the blessedness of serving the true God, Deuteronomy 33, 26 through 29. Israel was called to receive and preserve the divine revelations, Romans 3, 1 and 2, Deuteronomy 4, 5 through 8. Israel was called to produce the Messiah, Genesis 3, 15, Genesis 21, 3, Genesis 28, 10 and 14, Genesis 49, 10, 2 Samuel 7, 16 and 17, Isaiah 4, 3 and 4, Matthew 1, 1. The reader of Scripture should hold firmly in mind, number 1, that from Genesis 12 to Matthew 12, 45, the Scriptures have primarily in view Israel, the little rill, not the great Gentile river, though again and again the universality of the ultimate divine intent breaks into view. For example, you can see Genesis 12, 3, Isaiah 2, 2 and 4, Isaiah 5, 26, Isaiah 9, 1 and 2, Isaiah 11, 10 through 12, Isaiah 42, 1 through 6, Isaiah 49, 6 and 12, Isaiah 52, 15, Isaiah 54, 3, Isaiah 55, 5, Isaiah 60, verses 3, 5 and 11 through 16, Isaiah 61, verses 6 and 9, Isaiah 62, 2, Isaiah 66, verses 12, 18, and 19, Jeremiah 16, 19, Joel 3, 9, and 10, Malachi 1, 11, Romans 9, 10, and 11, Galatians 3, 8 through 14. Number 2, the reader of Scripture should hold in mind that the human race, henceforth called Gentile in distinction from Israel, goes on under the Adamic and Noahic covenants, and that for the race outside Israel, the dispensations of conscious and human government continue. The moral history of the great Gentile world is told in Romans 1, 21 through 32, and its moral accountability in Romans 2, 1 through 16. Conscience never acquits. It either accuses or excuses. Where the law is known to the Gentiles, it is to them, as to Israel, a ministration of death, a curse. See Romans 3, 19 and 20, Romans 7, 9 and 10, 2 Corinthians 3, 7, Galatians 3, 10. A wholly new responsibility arises when either Jew or Gentile knows the gospel. John chapter 3, verses 18, 19 and 36, John 15, 22 through 24, John 16, 9, 1 John 5, 9 through 12. God declared that Israel would lend to other nations, but would not borrow, that Israel would reign over many nations, but that no nation would reign over Israel, Deuteronomy 15, 6. Israel was called the wife of Jehovah, Isaiah 54, 5, Jeremiah 3, 14 and 20, Ezekiel 16, 29 through 59, Ezekiel 24, 15 through 7. In the book of Hosea, we see the picture given that illustrates to the Jews how God feels when his wife, Israel, commits adultery. Israel is the rod of his inheritance, and God will use Israel to break into pieces the nations. See, for example, Jeremiah 51, 19 through 23. Thus, Israel is the key to everything regarding the nations of this world. Israel was ordained to be a theocracy under the direct rule of God through his judges. God was directly over the state. This type of civil government was unique to Israel. We see how this type of civil government was applied by Israel in the book of Judges. Over and over again, especially in Deuteronomy, the Jews were told to follow God's law, to keep his commandments and statutes. Deuteronomy 12:1 says, "These are the statutes and judgments which ye shall observe to do in the land, which the Lord God of thy fathers giveth thee to possess it all the days that ye live upon the earth." God's laws covered everything, including idolatry. As mentioned above, the Ten Commandments exemplified the law, and the whole of the Ten Commandments, including the first four, were to be enforced in the nation Israel. God gave Israel free will. Ultimately, Israel rejected God's plan, under which God himself ruled over the nation of Israel and demanded a king like the Gentile nations. As recorded in 1 Samuel 8:5, Israel demanded a king. Now make us a king to judge us like all nations, the nation Israel told God. God told Samuel to hearken unto their demand, as recorded in 1 Samuel 8:9. And the Lord said unto Samuel, hearken unto the voice of the people in all that they say unto thee. For they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. God also told Samuel to tell the people the ill consequences of being ruled by a king. 1 Samuel 8:11-18 says, and he said, this will be the manner of the king that shall reign over you. He will take your sons and appoint them for himself, for his chariots, and to be his horsemen. And some shall run before his chariots. And he will appoint him captains over thousands, and captains over fifties. And he will set them to harvest, and to make his instruments of war, and instruments of his chariots. And he will take your daughters to be confectionaries, and to be cooks, and to be bakers. And he will take your fields and your vineyards and your olive yards, even the best of them, and give them to his servants. And he will take the tenth of your seed and of your vineyards, and give to his officers and to his servants. And he will take your men servants and your maid servants, and your goodliest young men and your asses, and put them to his work. He will take the tenth of your sheep, and ye shall be his servants. And ye shall cry out in the day because of your king which ye have chosen you. And the Lord will not hear you in that day. But they still demanded a king. They were looking at man, not God, when they made this demand. And they said unto Samuel, behold, thou art old, and thy sons walk not in his ways. 1 Samuel 8:5. They still did not realize that God fulfills his purposes. Had Israel walked in faith and kept his statutes and commandments, God had promised to bless them. Before the Israelites rejected God, God's law as transmitted through Moses, then through his successors, was the whole of civil and religious government. God's chosen people, even in the theocracy, rebelled against God and his ways time and again, were judged by God for doing so, and returned to God. When kings started rules, kings dominated prophet and priest. Saul, the first king, disobeyed the command of God through Samuel. You can see that in 1 Samuel 15. And even sought to slay Samuel, the prophet of God. 1 Samuel 16:2. David followed Saul as king of Israel. After the death of Solomon, David's son, who became king after the death of King David, the nation Israel split in two. The northern kingdom was called Israel, and the southern Judah, before those two nations were eventually taken into captivity for their failure to proceed under God. All 19 kings of Israel were evil, and only 8 of 20 kings of Judah were good, that is, did that which was right in the eyes of the Lord. During that time, God sent prophets to warn the kings of both Israel and Judah to cast down their idols and return to the ways of the Lord, and to proclaim the consequences that would surely come if they did not do so. Rarely did the kings heed the warnings of those prophets. The Jews broke the Mosaic law repeatedly. Jeremiah 31:32 says, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was an husband unto them, saith the Lord. Zechariah 7:12 says, yea, they made their hearts as an adamant stone, lest they should hear the law and the words which the Lord of hosts hath sent in his spirit by the former prophets. Therefore came a great wrath from the Lord of hosts. The nation was judged many times during this dispensation. Israel and Judah were both ultimately conquered, and the people taken into captivity because of their rebellion against God. Worldwide dispersion resulted from their rejection of Christ. Israel miserably failed to obey God on the basis of conscience, the restraint of the Holy Spirit, human government, promise, and law. As a result, God instituted what some call the dispensation of grace, which I will teach on in these studies. Under this dispensation, conscience, the restraint of the Holy Spirit, human government, promise, and grace are being used by God to govern people. The law is not a ruling factor for the believer during the dispensation of grace. Galatians 3 verses 19 and 23 through 25 say, "Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions till the seed should come to whom the promise was made, and it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster." Romans 6:14 says, "For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace." Grace as a ruling factor for the believer consists of two things. First, a confirmed favorable disposition toward God, the law of God in the heart. Romans 7:22 says, "For I delight in the law of God after the inward man." 2 Corinthians 3:3-11 says, "For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in tables of stone, but in fleshly tables of the heart." Skipping down, I continue, "Who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. But if the ministration of death, written and engraven in stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses, or the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect, by reason of the glory that excelleth. For if that which is done away was glorious, much more that which remaineth is glorious." The second thing grace as a ruling factor for the believer consists of is the indwelling Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20 says, "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Sadly, the majority of Jews and Gentiles do not accept the gift of righteousness offered by God in the dispensation of grace. Organized Christendom does not fulfill its mission given it by God in the New Testament. It does not fulfill the Great Commission, maintain a pure membership, discipline unruly members, prevent false teaching from existing within it, and contend earnestly for the true faith. The Bible teaches that man again will fail and judgment will follow. However, there is hope, and that hope is faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Through Him, our sins, past, present, and future, are forgiven if we humble ourselves with a contrite spirit, come to the Lord Jesus Christ, repent of our sins, and trust Him as our personal Savior. There are pages on both my websites which deal with salvation and also after salvation, our duties as Christians after salvation. You see, the Word of God teaches us that after salvation, we are to be soldiers for the Lord Jesus Christ. He has enlisted us who are saved in His army. We have responsibilities. We have duties. The most important responsibility is to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. 2 Timothy 2:15. God commands His soldiers this in Ephesians starting in verse 10. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." All these broadcasts are archived on the radio broadcast page of churchandstatelaw.com, spelled just like it sounds. Spell "and," don't use the symbol. There you'll find many resources, including links to all my blog articles and teachings.